Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Oh, this feels good. Feels good to be back. It's been too long, everybody. Welcome back to the show. We are here thanks to our friends at Quality Post Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids. Have your host, James, and I am joined by our friend, Michael Comer.
Hey, this is a show that we talk sports, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay, yeah, because I haven't been here in a month. I kind of forgot.
It's easy to forget, especially with how the things have been. Now, we are very happy to move on to the side for our local programming, whether it's high school sports or it's our Badgers or any of the above, really. But we have missed hanging out with you guys. Yeah. And it would suit that the one time my team does something interesting and I can't talk on the radio about it the very next day. We got plenty to talk about today, though. We got NFL and college playoffs to get into. I also want to talk a little bit about the coaching carousel, of course. We got some other fun stuff to get into as well. And then at 5:30, we're going to be joined by GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to be joining us for the fourth period. Plenty of stuff to grill him about on this season. Boy, he's got some accounting. No, we're gonna have fun, man.
I'd love to see you say that to his face.
I'm sure he can find things to nitpick at, which we're going to bring up with him. But for us as fans, man, this has just been a great ride. And I'm not just talking about this year, Michael. I mean, the last couple of years, it's just been fun. A GM and a coach quarters, but we don't have a team without that man. I loved working with him. I loved talking with him and everything. The energy that Coach Paul has brought to this team, to this city, is noticeable. And it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's nothing against Coach Marty Quarters either.
No.
Because Marty is one who got it started.
Yep.
And he set the foundation here, and Coach Paul talks about setting the foundation.
Yeah.
And the foundation was set here, because you see people going to those games since the first year in the Minnesota Junior Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of them. Mm-hmm. And now it's different now, because I'm going more as a speaker on it.
Yeah.
Excuse me, but boy, I'll tell you what, you see more and more different faces there as well. And there, as watching every single one of their games this season so far, there is something special brewing.
It wasn't fair of your voice to pull that time to cough right when you were talking about being a speaker. Your voice let you down on that. That was not fair. That usually happens to me.
At least it's my voice this time.
Yeah. A couple of other things I want to get into, but we will be talking to our first place River Kings at 5:30 and talk more hockey then. Looking forward to it. Let's kick right off and get right into the playoffs and the schedule ahead of us when it comes to that. We got a great lineup of just great games. I push back on the whole of the first couple of rounds of the college playoffs were interesting or blowouts. If you were just looking at scoreboards, maybe, and maybe there was maybe one or two of those games that were blowouts or maybe not that interesting.
Right.
But it's pretty hard to say that when, for one, we don't know going into these things. But also, this is a brand new thing, and they're trying to work this as it's going along. Can we just be happy that we have an interesting playoff here, that we don't have just your typical teams in this, and that we have options? I think that part has been fun. It can be better, and they're going to work that. There's no way a big Boise State next season that has this year, and they're going to get a bye again. That ain't happening.
No.
They're going to rework those things. But as it is, I don't know. I think it's been interesting, and you got four teams that are still kind of interesting to me, and any one of them could win it, outside of maybe Penn State. But I say that and watch Penn State hoist up the trophy. You never know. I do like that there's two Big Ten teams in there.
Well, essentially three.
Yes.
If you want to argue Notre Dame being in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But I think, though, while you talk about Boise State this, Boise State that, I'd still lean on Notre Dame this, Notre Dame that. Georgia. I mean, when that quarterback said he wasn't coming out for the game, I said that's the end of Georgia.
Yep.
There's no way around it. So not surprised to see Notre Dame win that game. Not surprised to see Notre Dame beat Indiana. I think that game was closer than all the pundits and prognosticators were saying. Said, "Oh, get Indiana, put Alabama," when Alabama just got their butts beat by Michigan. I don't want to hear another word out of them.
Yeah.
The only one that can maybe say still something is Ole Miss.
Yeah, yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, Arizona State, I mean, that was, I like to watch Pac-12 after dark, or Big 12 after dark.
Yeah.
I love doing that. I love staying up. You. I mean, I'm a night owl anyways. I'm up to 1:32 in the morning most nights anyways. And I'll tell you what, watching Arizona State, I knew they had a good running back. I didn't know how good he was.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that watching him single-handedly, should have beat Texas.
Yeah, should have. Yeah.
Should have beat Texas.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, that fourth and goal, whatever, pass for Texas to score, that's the most Texas thing that Texas has done I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And I'm fully being honest with it. I hate Texas. I've got nothing good to say about them. Yeah. But that's what Texas does.
Boomer Sooner.
Yep. But, you know, Ohio State, Texas, home game for Texas, that's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Then Penn State. Buddy, come on, Penn State. Yeah,
come on.
You know, that's what I want to see. The Orange Bowl, last time they were there, was when I was a senior in high school, 2006, and they beat Florida State. They beat the Fighting Bobby Bowdens.
Yes.
And it was just a field goal fest. Mm-hmm. I remember, for whatever reason, the memories came back, and I just remember all that. And then, of course, I remember the year that Texas and Ohio State, they went for pound in the Fiesta Bowl, and Texas went up with 14. Another Texas thing, winning with like 14 seconds, or not even 14 seconds left. So, I mean, these are going to be some pretty good games.
They should be. You've got Notre Dame and Penn State as part of the Orange Bowl tomorrow at 6:30. And then the Cotton Bowl will be Ohio State at Texas, 6:30 on Friday. And then, of course, the National Championship coming up on Monday, January 20th. Talk more about this in a moment. First, let's talk to you. Good afternoon. You are in the game.
Well, we're not going to quit talking about that. I mean, I'm going to predict it is going to be a Big Ten national championship.
Ooh. Ooh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Take that, SEC.
Yeah,
take that. Yeah, I like that.
Well, there is no SEC in the playoffs anymore. So,
Technically with the Texas, but they're brand new. I know what you're saying. I know, especially if you look at this in a college way, where the recruiting-wise, you know, a coach isn't going to have his team in there in the first season. He's got a couple of recruits, maybe a little more nowadays. But I don't think Texas is necessarily a completely branded SEC team just yet.
No.
I think you've got to play all the teams in the SEC to be able to say that, for one, and you've probably got to be there a little while, but I think your point is still valid. We don't really have, we've got a quote-unquote independent team in Notre Dame, we have two Big Ten teams, and we've got a team in Texas that really hasn't had a home necessarily in the Big 12 because they've been flirting with the SEC for so long.
Yeah.
So it's going to be very wild. And I can't wait to see how people lose their minds over this in SEC land and how they're feeling about this. Because they can talk all they want about having some representation with Texas, but we all know they don't feel that way about Texas just yet.
They'll be the same way if it was Oklahoma. Yeah. They don't own Oklahoma yet.
Yeah, yeah. So I imagine that the blood is boiling down there. Heads are going to roll. There's going to be a lot of oil money being put into a lot of these teams in the South coming forward here. They're not going to sit on this. This is not going to keep on happening.
Well, you know, and that's one thing, you know, you sit there and think about how much now, okay, Georgia didn't, you know, Georgia got beat, Alabama didn't even make the playoffs. How are they going to change this now so they can make sure that some of these teams are, conferences are better represented? It pretty much showed, to me, I think it shows that the Big Ten is going to be, is going to be a conference you don't want to mess with.
Yep.
I mean, and they have, what, three teams from the Big Ten in the playoffs,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
and then what? And the SEC had was just Texas and Georgia, right?
Try to think back now.
Scratch my brain here a little bit. If I remember correctly, you had in the first round Tennessee, Ohio State.
Oh, okay.
Penn State, SMU, then you had Notre Dame, Indiana, and I'm forgetting. Those were the first. Then there was one more.
Indiana was in there.
Yep. And I think there was one more that I am totally spacing on. I want to say that was not Boise State. I want to say that was Clemson, Texas. Mm-hmm. Then in the second round, you had Arizona State, Texas, then Ohio State, Oregon. And then you had Penn State, Boise State, and then Notre Dame, Georgia. So
that was incredible. That was incredible. Off the top of his head, everybody. I love that. That
I didn't even pull up my phone, dude.
Didn't even pull up his phone. Nice work. Nice work, brother. I mean,
so there was three SEC teams in there with Tennessee. I totally forgot about Tennessee being in there.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I still think, you know, they always do that ACC Big Ten challenge in basketball all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I think they need to take a week and do the SEC Big Ten Challenge in football.
Yeah. There's been talk about that, actually. It's funny you mentioned that. I remember just a few weeks, months ago, in the heart of football season, that the commissioners are saying, hey, we got to be on an equal playing ground, that maybe we do have 1 week of crossovers.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to be equal that, hey, if you're playing, what, 10 conference games, and we're only playing 9, well, no, we should make it equal, and then maybe how about we each play 9 and then 1 week of crossover. And the Big 12 even then spoke up and said, no, not so fast, my friend. Mm. We're just as important as you. And the ACC spoke up and said, yeah, why not us too? We have the same amount of teams. We have major players, which they all respectfully do, of course. Yeah, it's coming to be where you're going to have your four super-duper conferences,
yeah.
And then it's, and of course, they're not going to leave it at 12. They're going to make it 16, of course, because 2 wasn't fair, 4 wasn't fair, 12's not fair, nothing's fair anymore. So it's just like college basketball when they went from 32 to 64, or 68, or yes, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then they have another twist to it again this year, so... Yeah. For their basketball. But, yeah, I mean, they're going to – I mean, like I said, I think the NCAA, because you didn't have – you know, like I said, you didn't have the Alabamas in there that – I mean, that's the key. I mean, I think if Saban was still the coach there, would they have made the playoffs?
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't know. But
– yeah, I think they would have, yeah.
If Saban was there and didn't make the playoffs and you're still at Alabama, you know dang well the NCAA is going to try to do something.
I think Saban was there, his willpower may have gotten them into the playoffs alone. I don't know, let alone the politics that go on behind the scenes and all of those things. And I do think that they're going to tweak things, maybe to help the SEC, maybe just to make this thing better. But I also don't. I think a lot of it is a mute point because the SEC is going to do everything they can to make it so this never happens again. There's not going to be. I don't think that going forward you're going to see the SEC as crabs in a barrel. I think you're going to see cream rise to the top, and you're going to have Vanderbilt go back to being Vanderbilt. You're going to have some of these teams going back to what they used to be, and you're going to have the teams that, of course, we all know with the pedigrees and the blue bloods and everything, that's where the money's going to go, and they're going to go all in on that. We may get back to a time where it's like this again, but I truly believe, and I'm not just saying this off a cuff, I've seen enough reporting and seen enough people talking about this to where, even before the playoffs started, when they saw the teams that were in there, and they didn't see some of the ones that you guys have mentioned, the heads were rolling, and people were immediately signing checks and immediately saying, go ahead and just open up an oil vein and just put it right into your university and get these players back to Alabama, back to Georgia, and even keeping up appearances for some of these teams, like a Tennessee that is just starting to come back. I'm afraid of what will happen. One of my favorite stories this year has been Arizona State.
Picked dead last.
It's been a fun team to watch, fun coach, a cool story with their coach, and all of this, I hope that we don't lose those stories. That's the one thing that one of the bigger fears I have, and one of the things I was so looking forward to about these playoffs is having those random teams. I don't care if they get beat 45-10. I've seen national championships like that. Get out of here with blowouts, and oh, it's not worth it because of a blowout. Have you watched any national championship game ever? Any Super Bowl ever? For every good one, there's 40 of them that were blowouts, and that's the way it's always been. We don't talk about those ones, but they happen all the time.
Yeah, Seattle, Denver, about 10 years ago, I think there was one of the Kansas City ones.
Did anybody watch the Giants-Baltimore Super Bowl? My God, man. How about the Patriots and Rams a couple of years ago? I mean, what are we talking about?
I watched that one. I did watch that one.
I did watch it, too. Yeah, I'll admit I watched it. But it was horrible. It was a horrible game, and it was supposed to be the best game. It happens all the time. I don't want to see these teams not get opportunities just because they didn't work out. We didn't have App State beating Michigan. Oh, shocker! Okay, that we got the. We're supposed to have the best of the best. Of course, the best should beat the not as best, the not as good. I do want to have some time with you, Kevin, to talk a little NFL, and especially with the news that broke a little bit ago. Jordan Love feeling pretty good, feeling pretty confident about playing. Says his elbow is getting back to normal. A little more concerned maybe with Malik Willis, where he's still feeling a numbness, and he says that it's not normal. He doesn't feel the ball normally like he's used to. I think that both of them are concerning. I only bring up the Malik Willis being a concern just because if your number one isn't 100%, you need your number number two to be 100%.
Right.
This is the NFL. On the other side of the aisle, Jalen Hurts is in concussion protocol and had his first walkthrough, I think, today. Yeah. Now, I don't think that there's a chance in the daylights that Jalen Hurts isn't starting in that game on Sunday. But just the fact that he hasn't had the practice with his players this week is going to affect the game. There's no getting around that. I don't mean that they're going to lose and he's going to play horrible, but it ain't going to be the game that it could have been with him 100%. They still got Saquon Barkley, but the Packers still got Josh Jacobs. And Josh Jacobs is still doing just fine. I think that when you look at this game, you have the best matchup in the playoffs right now. You have the two teams that line up so well together that had a week one matchup that went the way it did, and both of them got reasons and things to prove. And I think you got a really exciting game possibly here, and a game, if I'm a Packer fan, I'm feeling good about.
I think. Go ahead, Kevin.
So I'm gonna go the opposite way with you on this, James. Okay, so last year when the Packers they were hot coming into the playoffs, and that they took that right into Dallas, and they were just a field goal, missed field goal, and probably a couple, you know, bad calls on the coaching end of it away from beating San Francisco last year. Now the Packers are coming in on a two-game losing streak, not looking good, that my confidence level is not probably as high as some people's. I want to be optimistic and think the Packers could come in there and beat the Eagles, but they're playing too tight right now. They're just playing way too tight. I think Jordan Love is not taking the chances like he did at the beginning of the season. Yeah, he threw some interceptions, and now I think he's overprotecting the ball. That's why you're starting to see more throws into the ground. I think that if they're going to win this game, they just got to go, you know, open the playbook and play loose and just go. I mean, that's the only thing I think they can do.
I think some of this, too, and I don't take anything off of Jordan Love, especially with the contract that man is collecting right now. But I do think that a lot of where his learning came from was from Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
And one of the biggest shift in Aaron Rodgers' whole career was him having one season where he had no problem whipping it down the field. And then the very next season, you noticed, went down to like three interceptions. Like, and from that point on, he was not doing that anymore. If he was going to take a chance, it was the most calculated risk you ever saw. It was the opposite of a gunslinger. I'm only pulling my gun when I know I only have to shoot one bullet, and I'm going to nail it. And he's proven that, obviously, with the Hail Marys and some of those things, and a Hall of Fame career. I can see Jordan Love trying to make some of those same adjustments, and I don't know if he's the same quarterback. I feel very confident he's not the same quarterback. I don't know if he's the same kind of guy that can make that adjustment, make that shift, because some players have to just play at one speed. And I really feel like Jordan Love is one of those players, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's plenty of Hall of Famers that played that way. But I think you've got to let him cook. I think you've got to let him go out there, and if he's going to throw a pick, he's going to throw a pick, and he'll learn from it because he's a smart kid and he's a coachable kid. There's nothing about him that seems like, oh, we can't talk to him, or we're going to say the wrong thing and everything. No, nobody has a problem talking to him. If anything, they need to build him up. They need to build this kid's confidence up. I didn't think you'd say that about an NFL quarterback, but his body language needs to be adjusted badly. Some of when Watson goes down and they'll put the camera to him and he's shaking his head like, oh no, here we go again and all that. I understand he's a human being. I understand he's a young man. You can't be in that moment. You can't be. That's not the leadership role. You've got to take command of the team. You've got to do that, not by being the rah-rah guy, not by doing but going and checking on your guy, keeping your head up, making sure that everybody, you're making eye contact with all your players. I've seen this. I've seen players do this my whole life. I'm looking for that in him. And it's not to say it can't happen. It's just right now we're not seeing it. And I think a big part of that is coaching. I don't think Matt LaFleur is a bad coach by any means. No. And I would give anything to have a coach like him right now. And I'm not going to get one, by the way. Spoiler alert. But there's more on that coming up. But when it comes to Matt LaFleur, I think he skates on too many things. And one of them is, for one, not wanting to be friendly with the media and trying to be a tough guy with the media when he's not. And two, I don't think he's either hard enough on these players or hard enough at the right time on these players, because the discipline shows. Whether it is on him and his coaching staff making boneheaded mistakes when you shouldn't be at this point, or it's players acting the way that they do, where you have a defense that just, there's no leadership on that defense. Almost all of them are knuckleheads. Almost all of them are just going to kind of do their thing and look for their stats and have their little moves that they make when they get a turnover or something like that. That's not going to win you a Super Bowl, man. Nope. You can't win that way. You got a bunch of first-round picks that are playing like it. Not in a good way. Like with divaism and everything. You need some coaching there where you need... The thing that I'm looking for, and that all the young players that I see that are great, they want to be coached. Nobody talks about this with some of these young quarterbacks that just have come into the league in the last couple of years, whether we're talking about Justin Herbert or Jalen Hurts or Caleb Williams or any of these guys. They want to be coached, and they want to be coached hard. Get a guy in there that is going to do that. If Matt LaFleur ain't the guy, you need somebody that is, because there's too much invested in this young man and there's too much potential with Jordan Love.
I'm going to throw a name out there, Kevin Green.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Look at the year that the Packers won the Super Bowl. Look what Kevin Green did to that defense. You know, he got in AJ Hawk's face and said, I want that ball. Give me that ball.
I have had two happy moments as a football fan in the last maybe 5 to 10 years. Both of them happened this season, with NIU beating Notre Dame and the Chicago Bears actually beating the Green Bay Packers in that game, in a game that it looked like nobody wanted to win, but we all know everybody wanted to win for various reasons and everything. And the major thing that stood out to me about that game, the Packers' defense is good. I think they got a good coach. I saw no leadership on that defense.
There was no fire.
Saw no fire. Saw nobody being out there. I saw individuals being fired up. But I didn't see anybody working together. I didn't see anybody, because that's what you have to do. You have to do your job and worry about your job, and that's it. The other guy, 11 guys, they're going to do theirs. All I saw were a bunch of individuals out there. I could not get over the attitude that Packers came into that game with. I truly felt like you're going to go in there and they're the Bears. They're the dominant animal. They're the ones that are to come in there and devour everything. That's what they do. They did it last year. It's almost the same team that's coming in this year that it was last year. I thought for sure they would. I did not see anything even close to that. And I was shocked by that. I still am thinking about it. I'm still shocked the Bears won. I genuinely am. That kick was through the upright, and I still thought they were going to lose. There's no way I thought they were winning that game, in part not just because Green Bay needed to win it, but because I thought that they had a team finally that got it, that understood the assignment. We have a job to do. Let's go out there. Let's win this game. Let's dominate. Let's step on their throat. All of that. I didn't see that in that team, and I'm a little shocked by it because I thought that they were that team. I thought that they started to show that. The two-game slide, I think, has really shown a lot of true colors, possibly, with some of these players. I think that when you look at this, if you get knocked out by Philly, there's got to be some changes on that defense. We're not maybe talking about coaching, but I think player-wise.
I think that's coming, yes.
You got an overhaul going on there with that defense. You have to, and you got to bring in some vets. None of this, we got a second-year guy that we're going to rise up and everything, and he's going to move up in it. That's great. Good for him. I'm happy for him. Get a vet linebacker. Get a, like you did with the backfield and Xavier McKinney and everything. You bring somebody like that in. Otherwise, you're going to have the same problem over and over and over again.
Well, you bring up a good point. I mean, there is nobody on that defense that is a game changer. Kind of like what you don't have T.J. Watt from Pittsburgh. He's a game changer. You don't have Bosa. He's a game changer. You don't have what's his face from Dallas. I can't think of it right now.
Micah Parsons.
Micah Parsons. Yeah, he's a game changer.
He may be available.
Yeah.
Look what happened with the Packers back in the 90s when they signed Reggie White.
Yeah.
Look what happened to that defense.
Everybody wanted to come there. Santana Dotson, Sean Jones, the linebackers, defensive backs.
Who were the knuckleheads on that defense? Nobody. nobody. Now, there may have been actually some knuckleheads on there.
Yeah.
But Reggie put that to rest real quick. You didn't see that with the Reggie White defense. You didn't see it in Philly either. But you definitely didn't see it once he was so matured and the Deacon and all those things when he went to Green Bay. That's, you can make an argument, man, that's more important than having a good quarterback. Or having a leader at quarterback, is having a good leader on defense and having some accountability on defense. It, we talk about it all the time in every sport. What wins championships?
Well, you look at some of those teams you've already mentioned. Baltimore, when they beat the Giants. Look at that. Look what that defense did there. Look at the 1985 Bears. Mm. That's what the defense. Even some of those Philadelphia teams that didn't win Super Bowls, like Reggie, for example. Tampa Bay, when they beat Oakland. That's the defense.
We haven't even talked about the Giants with Lawrence Taylor.
Like, right?
I mean, my God. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
It's just, it's littered throughout in sports history with championships and how important defense is. We're going to talk with Coach Paul in a couple minutes here about the NHL championship. Stanley Cup last year. A lot of cool offense. I believe the last game was 1-0 or something like that. Really, the last minutes of that game, I was on the edge of my seat all because of the defense. You need that on that team, and you need that on that team if you're going to go forward. You put the investment in Jordan Love. You put the investment in him, not just with the contract, but signing Josh Jacobs to a multi-year deal. You got a good young receiver core. I do want to say I enjoyed Christian Watson here. I think he's another Valdez Scantling. I think he's gone.
He's gone, unfortunately. That injury, I feel horrible for him.
I feel bad for him. I don't. I know he's a grown man getting paid millions of dollars. All that. He's still a young guy, and I feel for anybody having their dream ripped out of their from like that. That's rough. Kevin, it's been great talking with you, man. We appreciate you, and I hope you guys appreciate. I did not start the show with Bear Down, Chicago Bears. I didn't do it. And in part because, I mean, it's already gone. Even all the hope, all the goodness I had is gone already, thanks to Mike McCarthy.
I'll tell you what, though, James, walking out of that stadium, I think that was the single biggest game that they've won since 1985. At least that's the way they acted.
It's the way they acted, yes. And they had to, because that's all they have.
Yeah.
It's all we have.
Yeah.
I was going to bring that up. I mean, look at the lean years that we had with Green Bay back in the 80s. What was the one thing that our season, if we can lose, 14 games, as long as we did not lose for the Bears twice.
Right. To have nothing else to go on, especially for your fan base and everything, that's all they had at times in Green Bay. And now we have that. And now we have that in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
I real quickly, before we go to break, I do want to do something I may never do again in my life and thank Jerry Jones. I would like to thank Jerry Jones. And this gets me emotional. I'm sorry, guys. I never had my fandom tested by the Chicago Bears. I never really have. I woke up one morning and I saw in the paper that the Bears were threatening to move to Gary, Indiana. And I guess there was a little fear there, but I never really thought it was going to happen. If the Bears had even interviewed Mike McCarthy, let alone hired him, I'm not putting on a bit here, nothing like that. I don't know how I could root for that team. Like, I'm not ever going to be able to give up my fandom. It's literally in my DNA to love that team. But I ain't watching any games. I can't get into that team. I can't root for that team. I couldn't imagine doing that. So I want to thank Jerry Jones for just, I don't know for what reason why he's doing this, but for denying the Bears permission to interview Mike McCarthy. Thank you, Jerry, for just being Jerry Jones, I guess. I don't know. We're going to take a break. Kev, thanks for joining us.
All right, you guys. Have a great night.
Michael and I will be back with Coach Paul Peckman from your Wisconsin Rapids River Canes coming up on Playmakers. Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Let's kick off the fourth period. Got your host here, James. I am joined by Michael Comer. Thank you again for being here, Michael. Appreciate
Happy
you.
Happy to be here, buddy.
And we are joined by GM, head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, is with us right now. Coach Paul, good to have you with us. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time. You brought in a new friend of ours here. You guys are in hockey helmets all the time, so I know who I got with us here today.
Lucas Whitehead.
It is Lucas. I thought so, Lucas. Thank you so much, man. It's been good to have you here with us. I appreciate seeing you again. Long time, King. Appreciate you. And I want to kick off right away congratulating you guys. Sitting in first right now. I know there is no champagne being spilled or anything like that. I'm not getting ahead of things or nothing. But we don't get to say this all the time. And it's I think in life it's important to take in those little wins. And this is an accomplishment from where you guys were at times, in years past to where we are right now and developed and development wise, it's got to feel pretty good. Lucas, you are one of the more long-standing Kings. For you, how does this feel? And if you guys don't mind getting up to the mic here a little bit, so I want to make sure the audience can hear you good.
No, it's
so how's
awesome.
It feeling, Lucas?
It's awesome. I mean, we've had pretty successful years all 3 years I've been here. Obviously, the first year was the first year for Coach Paul and pretty much a new program, right, after the switch. And last year, obviously, was very successful, and that was great. And, you know, we expected it. I know Coach Paul and I did. Talking all summer, that's what we wanted to do. I'm not sure if everyone around us did, but we came ready to do it, and we did it last year, and this year is just what we expected.
Completely shocked me. I had no idea. No. Of course, I felt really good about the team, too. And I didn't word the question the way I really was thinking it in my head, because I'm not just thinking about right now, but since you've been here and the time that we've been here and this growing of this, and we've had good seasons. We've had winning seasons. But the attitude being that is the norm. That is what it is going forward. How that must feel, and to be a part, such an integral part of that, you help build that.
Right.
It's got to feel pretty good, especially as a guy building his career in the early days of building that resume.
Definitely. I mean, that's the culture we've built in our locker room is, you know, you come to work and you're going to come to win or, you know, stay home, right? Mm-hmm. We want guys that want to win and want to compete, and we work each day we beat each other up each day and battle each day, and you know, we have a really good room of guys and culture that just we're so dialed in right now, and it's a good feeling. Like Coach Paul and I have talked about it, it's just, you know, it feels really good right now and what we got, and everything's just clicking, right? And that's over 3 years.
How important to you is when it comes to practices and those grinds in the weekdays, not only you and the players getting that practice time, but getting that time together, like getting to be able to just conversate, hang out, build that chemistry on and off the ice?
Yeah, that's probably my favorite part of the game. Like, I'm at the rink from 8 in the morning till 5 at night. Guys come in, you know, anywhere between then and, you know, latest 11:30, so we don't hit the ice till 1:15. So that's the best part, is we're just hanging out in the gym, you know, joking around, and it's just great to have that time with your teammates to really bond, and you create that family type where when we do get on the ice, it's okay if we, you know, work each other and beat each other up, because then off the ice you're just your best friends, your brothers, right? So that's the best part to me.
There's something different about growing up around hockey and a part of hockey. I double checked with my parents over the holiday weekend. I was a little over one my first hockey game. First time I got to go to see my dad play or anything like that. Been watching this sport a long time, and I love this sport very much. I'm not used to seeing 70 shots on goal as an average. 47 years, man. I've been watching this for 47 years. I'm not used to seeing that where I look at that, I'm like, oh, yeah, that again. Like, that is insane to me.
We didn't even reach our goal.
What was the goal? What was the goal?
75.
Amazing. I mean, James, I will say this much. I have seen a bunch, but it's usually watching these guys play, whether it's Coach Paul or Marty. That was a normal. That discrepancy there in numbers, that happens quite a bit. And that's no disrespect to the Blades, because they're about 500 team. They're not a bad team. And their goalie, I mean, he's a goalie of the month the last month. He's good. And 75 shots, you're going to let 9 in, you know, and still look good.
Yeah.
It was impressive.
You know, I mean, it really comes down to putting people – you know, having the guys in front of you, right? I mean, that goaltender was hung out to dry a lot. And listen, like Lucas said, the way we practice and the expectations and the standards and things that we talk about a lot, right? That's what we preach in a game like this where you're feeling it, everything is going and everything's clicking, and you see this happen. That goaltender, you know, he was hung out to dry, and that's what we expect.
when it comes to when a game is going on like that, I want to talk a little bit with you about in-game adjustments and whether if that is even a thing, because it's something I've heard a lot of talk about in coaching over the years and stuff, and I'm a little curious about that. But when it comes to a game like that, games like that, which you guys have had a couple this year, do you is it a matter of it getting involved as a coach and kind of do different things? I want to see different guys out there, give some guys some minutes, or is it so much especially in that first second period, I'm just going to let them do their thing. I'm let them cook and kind of keep out of the way, do my job, but I'm kind of letting the players play. How much do you balance that?
Well, you definitely do, right? Because how the game is dictated in other games during the course of the season, whatever, some guys may get more ice time than others. Well, now you got a chance to get some of those guys more ice time that didn't get a lot. Try them in different scenarios that maybe they don't get a lot in practice. Those are, now it's about, let's work on some things, right? Now you got an opportunity here. You're up 7-8, nothing, right? There's no need to, again, like Mike's point, not disrespect anybody, but you still want to work on things, right? Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, our guys need to produce, right? You want to see who can produce. And ultimately, as sad as it is, this league is gauged on points, right? These guys are getting nominated for accolades on points. So am I going to hold guys back and it's our fault that we're putting up 8-9 goals a game? That's not, you know, I got to let these guys, to your point, I got to let them run a little bit, right? But you get everybody involved here, and I'm not just putting out the same six guys.
Yeah,
right. We're gonna roll everybody. We're gonna put guys in different scenarios.
And that's something to say too. Is how are you supposed to tell one of your younger players for not picking on the kid, but one of your younger guys like Aiden Welsh when he's playing? How are you supposed to tell him when he finally gets to get some regular line rotation in there? Don't try to score. Yeah. Don't make that pass for a goal. How are you supposed to tell your bench players who don't get the playing time, like Allstrand or Knopsfelder there? How do you tell them to, don't play hard. Don't embarrass them. You can't do that. It's no disrespect to Steele County again. It's up to them to stop you guys. And fortunately, as a fan myself of you guys, teams can't stop you.
As somebody who grew up in a household where there was Northwestern football on the TV a lot, I'm used to blowouts and used to seeing my team get slaughtered. I will be the first to say, if you don't like it, stop them.
Like, exactly.
It's real simple. This is what one of the most dangerous things to ask an athlete to do is go half speed. You know, just pull back a little bit. That's when guys get hurt. That's when guys get injured. If you don't like it, stop them. And I know Steele County did. I know that other teams have tried. And it's like that in all of sports. When it comes to how you're approaching the game, you can't coach the other team. You got to focus on your team. You got to focus on your guys. And for this team, I'm curious. We hear this in coaching a lot about in-game adjustments and what's going on. I'm sure it's different on this level to other levels, but on this level, the period ends and you're got that time off. How much are you able to talk to your players and work with them, and how much is it just kind of, well, we already did this in practice. We've got a game plan. We're going out there with that game plan, regardless of what the score is in the first period.
Well, not much, right? I mean, we talk for a couple of minutes, and that's it, really. It's just, you know, you come in, and if it's 4-0 after the first period, okay. Everything that we worked hard all week long in our game plan, well, obviously it's working. Mm-hmm. Right? Not much to change, right? Just keep going, right? And then we try to set goals for ourselves. We want 25 shots a period, right? You want this, you want that, right? I want to make sure we don't give up a certain amount of shots. We definitely don't want to give up a goal. We don't, right? So you maintain everybody, making sure that they stay true to their game and they're playing it the right way.
How much of it is when, well, we did see it a little bit for those of us who saw the second game. You guys scored quick again, but then you saw them pick up the pressure. You saw Steele County pick up the forecheck, get a little more physical. And was that maybe something you guys were anticipating, or was it something not necessarily caught you by surprise, but maybe weren't anticipating so much that, now we've got to be ready for this. We've got to be ready to deal with it.
Well, I think, you know, Steele County is always a good team. They always battle hard.
Yep.
Right? And now it's just about us going so high so quick, and then you start to get a little complacent.
Okay.
Right? And now all of a sudden the second period was kind of flat.
Yep.
And now it's a wake-up call. Hey, it's still a 3-4 goal game. It's not, you know, 1 or 2, you know, you get caught sleeping, and now all of a sudden you got a game, right? So now you got to wake up here. Let's make sure you finish this the right way, and then set the tone for the week, and then getting ready for what's coming up. Right?
It's kind of the expression going, putting your foot on the throat when you have the chance.
Exactly.
And we've got two teams that are going to try to do that this weekend in town at the Southwick County Rec Center. We've got 1 and 2 facing off as we've got the Squatch coming to town. 7 o'clock puck drop Friday, Saturday. Meet us over at the Southwick County Rec Center. We'll tell you how to get tickets and all of that in a moment. Maybe even win some tickets if you're listening. But when it comes to this matchup in particular, Coach, what is the attitude going into this one? And does it change any different with from this particular team?
Yeah, I think obviously, I mean, they have some heavy hitters goal scoring wise. So, I mean, you really have to pay attention. I mean, they are where they are because for a reason, right? I mean, they're a really good team. They're skilled. You know, we have to make sure that we play on the right side of the puck. On the D side, we have to be disciplined and structured. And we know where to be. We know what to do. And now it's just about being committed and staying true to our systems. And being aware of who's on the ice at certain times and taking care of business, right? So they're good. There's no question. It'll make you pay if you're not paying attention.
Pretty sure, I just want to double check, it's the last games against them this season too. So I imagine that's on the table too, something that's in your guys' heads and everything.
Well, this is for the division. Yeah. There's no question about it. We have to win both games. Otherwise, we don't have a shot. Yeah. The way that they're playing, let's just say we both went out and we don't take care of this, well, that's going to come down because they got two games in hand on us.
And having that for winning the division, speak to why that's so important. Obviously, pride-wise or what it means and everything, but playoff-wise, what that means.
Well, that gives us home ice advantage throughout all three rounds now, right? So no matter how deep we go, we're playing at home, which obviously we know is a huge factor. Mm-hmm. And also, it's more for the players and in the recruiting process, right? Yeah. So these guys, you'll come back in 5, 10, 15 years from now and look up there and says, I did that, and I did that, and I did that, right? Yeah. And that means something. So, and in the recruiting process, Look what we did, right? So that helps. Mm-hmm. For me, personally, you know, I've said it all along, banners don't mean as much to me as it does for the program and for these guys because they put in a lot of blood, sweat, and tears, right? So
I want you to win, go on to win this whole thing because of guys like you, Lucas, because of the what this team means to this community, of all these things, and especially for you and your family, Coach, and what you've done around here. But just as much I want, because I cannot wait to see you the next day after you win. And how long do you let yourself even enjoy it and everything? I got the over-under on 24 hours. I got 24 hours, he's going to let himself enjoy it.
Well, on Friday night, yes. On Saturday, maybe it's 2 days. But.
But we got to get there first, and we're going to enjoy the ride because we got a great ride ahead of us. We got a bunch of games coming up, got a bunch of home games coming up, including this weekend. We're going to have Michael Hart at work as he's covering those games for you, and appreciate the work you've been doing on that, man.
No problem. Now, Lucas, I got a question.
Sure.
Now, you're talking about the team, just a brotherhood there, and unfortunately, you're not playing right now because you got a bum wheel there, but I talk about it on air with Guillaume, and I was able to talk about it with Shaw. And you kind of got a mini United Nations down there. You got the Euro line, you got the Canadian connection out there. You know,
the Russian connection.
The Russian Rousers or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many nationalities there that you got Obstfelder and Anderson and Allstrand there. Norwegian and Swedish, all talking the same way. And of course, you got Lufalin and Ilian talking, the Russian and everything. That obviously there is some language barrier there,
sure.
But you all still get along. How do you guys do it?
Yeah, I think that's something that's special with us too. Is like we're from all over, but we have so much in common and our goals in common. So we're all willing to work together to achieve that goal, and you know. One of my best friends is from Italy, Francesco Calodenti.
Yep.
I played with him before I came here. Mm. So we live together. Like, some of my best friends are from other countries.
That's awesome.
As I said before, that's part of my favorite part of playing this game is it's, you know, global. You meet people from all over, and you can connect with people from that don't even speak your language.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Well, you have hockey's universal.
Yep. Yeah.
Right? So all these guys are coming from all over the globe for a common goal, right?
My my dad, I remember him having a good friend to come over to the house and have dinner and everything, and had just the thickest Russian accent I've ever heard. And I didn't understand a word the guy was saying clearly or anything. I just figured my dad did. My dad did not. But they were great friends. And I don't know if it was my mom or who asked him, but how do you guys talk? How do you guys talk in there and all that? He's like, well, we all speak hockey. So if you know that language, you can have a great relationship. You can have a good conversation. It's a great question, Michael, and it's something that I think that gets kind of normalized in hockey,
right?
On every level. But these guys on every level, they do this, and you hear very seldom do you hear of a rough locker room in hockey. You know, these guys they keep it in house if it is happening, and for the most part they get along. They're able to work things out, and I think that's one of the most beautiful parts of the game is how the world comes together on that rink. Can I thank you guys enough for the time, especially in a busy week here with such a busy set of games coming up. We're going to have those games for you on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI. Be sure to join us as the puck drops at 7 on Friday and Saturday as your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings take on the Minnesota Squatch. First place on the line. Hanging on the first place, I should say. Find out more and get your tickets as the boys of winter build hockey up and down the river at RiverKingsHockey.com. RiverKingsHockey.com. Be sure to follow them on social media. Mike and I will be back. Guys, have a great night, okay? And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James here to take it to the top of the hour. A couple minutes left. We don't mind filling it with your phone call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Want to thank Coach Paul and Lucas for joining us. Great conversation with those guys. Man, I could talk to Coach all day.
Oh, yeah.
Talk to him all day. We appreciate them joining us. Be listening tomorrow on our morning show. We're going to give a chance for you to win River Kings tickets Thursday, Friday. We're going to make sure that we get a great home ice advantage and a whole entire Southwood County Rec Center is filled with River King fans. I do want to talk a little bit more football. I want to get a stat of the show in, Michael, real quick.
Go for it.
Because as a sports show, we have to do that. I got two of them for you, and I think one of our listeners might have one, too, if you guys want to call up and join us. But most playoff wins for a quarterback. I feel like most people know that Tom Brady has this record. I did not realize by how much he had.
It's quite a bit.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got, holds the NFL record for most playoff wins by a quarterback, 35. For most playoff games started at 48. Joe Flacco and Tom Brady are tied for the most road postseason wins with 7. But I saw a stat that Patrick Mahomes is right there at number 2 and certainly has a chance to come up on that. But he would have to win 3 playoff games over the next 5 seasons to even get close to that. That is asking a lot. It's almost asking him not to win the division every year, so yeah. He has the wild card game to be
Well, that's going to be getting tougher and tougher and tougher for him with the way that Denver and the Chargers are playing.
But where I wanted to go first was actually go back a little bit, and I was curious. Most people know what the first college football game was, or the first NFL game, and what the first televised game was. What was the first college football game on radio? I don't know if I've ever heard that. So I looked it up the other day, and October 8th, 1921 marked a significant day in the field of football. On this day, the first live sports radio broadcast of football game aired on KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The game was at Forbes Field, and it was between West Virginia and the University of Pittsburgh.
The old backyard brawl.
The game that is such a brutal game, they don't even bother having a trophy for it. Like, just winning the game is the trophy. That is one of my favorite games on the schedule when it got back and everything. Because I think for some of our childhood and everything, it was gone. Part of our later. I'm thinking too early there.
I think it's been more recent with conference realignment. It's like, for the longest time, Texas and A&M. Didn't play, and now Bedlam, that's been put on the back burner with Oklahoma State.
When it comes to the NFL schedule this weekend, Packers, Eagles, of course, we've touched on that a little bit. Broncos, Bills could be good. You've got Commanders, Buccaneers, Vikings, Rams. All, I think, just a good slate.
I think Tampa and the Commies are going to be the one that I really want to watch. You have two of the better quarterbacks in the league, but you got Baker Mayfield, who is probably one of the senior statesman with it, that
yeah.
I want to see him win.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah. I like that team. I should also mention Chargers, Texans, early wild card games in Steelers, Ravens.
Ooh, that's going to be a brawl.
That's going to be a good one, too. That should be a good one, too. But I'm with you. I think that the Broncos have had a good season. Bills are just dominant right now.
Yep.
I do think that Vikings, Rams, while it could be interesting, I actually think as good as the Rams have been, they probably should win that game, even though the Vikings have a better record.
I think I've said it for a while. I just don't know how much I can trust Minnesota. I think the Rams, with those two receivers, and granted, the Addison and Jefferson, I got it. But I think there is a better quarterback in L.A. overall than there is in Minnesota. But you know that Bills-Denver game? I hate seeing it because I want to see Buffalo win. That's the kind of game Buffalo blows.
True. True.
That's the one that they blow it, and then we're sitting here, oh, another fall of Buffalo.
Yeah.
That's I'm waiting to see that.
And we could see it I think Lamar Jackson proved a lot in last year's playoffs. For a lot of people, he's still got a lot to prove. And an early round exit to Pittsburgh is not going to do anybody any good.
No, and I mean, there's been some really, 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 really good multiple MVP winning quarterbacks to not win a Super Bowl, but there's to make it to that next level, he needs to win one of these years to be on that level of a Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers, Peyton Manning, so forth.
We'll be back next week with more Playmakers. We'll have an episode for you on Monday. We'll get into a bit of the WIAA proposal about this playoff proposal that they have. We'll certainly talk about the results from the playoff weekend, get into some of that as well. And that includes, of course, talking River Kings. Next week, in the upcoming weeks, we're going to talk a little more Rafters with everybody as well. They've got some news that have been coming up and signing some players. I got a new coach want to talk to.
Yep, Ziggy.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And tomorrow night is going to be fun. On Thursday, we have at WXCO. Be sure to check out Lincoln High School Boys Hockey as they host Wausau West. That should be a good game as well. Michael, great show. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, glad to be back.
And thank you, everybody. Have a good night.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.